Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Gordon Hayward agrees to move his deadline for his decision. Ooh, mysterious. Plus, do the Celtics really have no interest in James Harden? And we get our first look at what a schedule might look like on this Wednesday Locked On Celtics. Millie's. Let's go. Rainy Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. I am their Boston Celtics beat reporter and the host of this here Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making the show part of your daily routine. I appreciate you downloading the show and listening to it every Monday through Friday. If you're a new listener, that's the plan every Monday through Friday. And now as the season starts back up soon, there will be post-game shows and all of that. So Monday through Friday, daily podcast. So be sure to subscribe if you haven't yet. I want to start off by saying thank you to all of you, the listeners of this podcast. So the 2020 Channel Media Market Research New England Sports Survey is in. It's a what it says. It's an annual sports survey of New England sports fans. 16,000 fans around New England to get a pulse, you know, of what sports fans are thinking. One of the questions, I didn't know any of this was happening ahead of time. One of the questions was, what's your favorite podcast? And in second place, this one right here, the Locked On Celtics podcast. The second most favorite podcast, sports podcast, amongst New England sports fans. This is, without a doubt, the most amazing honor that I've gotten here on this podcast. This is for, and this is all sports everywhere. And the best part is that there was no like multiple choice. This was just write down your answer. What's your favorite podcast? And this one was second. I'm floored by that. It means so much to me that you have chosen this podcast and that you have enjoyed this podcast. It's gone through a lot of changes and you've continued to stick with it and continue to support the show. I absolutely have to start by saying thank you so much. I know I say please share the podcast at the end and I ask you to rate and review and you do that and you just continue to support this podcast. And really one of the best parts about this, really honestly, is that behind this show are a couple of the like sports talk radio, you know, blowhards, the jerks that think that the only way to do a good show is by being an asshole. So to be ahead of them, that's like validation that I try to do this informative show and try to make it interesting and that so many of you respond to it. So I have to start with this, just a very heartfelt thank you. Okay, enough of that. We're going to move on to the rest of the show. So segment one here, Gordon Hayward, a very interesting move, him and the Celtics agreeing to move that deadline for his opt-out a couple of days. What does that mean? In segment two, James Harden, do the Celtics really have no interest? There was a report out that said that was the case. Segment three, we'll go through some of the schedule. Now, we did not get the schedule itself, but we got the framework. So I'll go into that a little bit, what that means and what you can expect. So Gordon Hayward and the Boston Celtics were supposed to have a deadline. Gordon Hayward was supposed to have a deadline on Tuesday evening at 5 o'clock to decide on whether he was going to opt in to the final year. And it's $34.2 million, you know. It's a lot of money, and everyone has expected him to opt in. But at about 3:30 or so, it came out that he and the Celtics were going to delay that. They had agreed to push it to Thursday. What does that mean? Well, we don't know for sure. However, when you think about it, let's just talk through it. The Celtics wanted this, and Gordon Hayward agreed, which means it's probably not a contract extension type of situation, because that would have been agreed to by now. And if they were close, he could just opt out and just, it'd be fine. You know, there's no reason to extend it. Why extend it? Well, if Hayward agrees to it and the Celtics agree to it, there has to be some level of negotiation here going on with some sort of trade that the Celtics are trying to move Hayward either to the Indiana Pacers, where it seems like they have had interest, and obviously he's from there and he would have interest, or, as has been rumored, the Atlanta Hawks. Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports said the Atlanta Hawks, I'm leaving that in. The Atlanta Hawks are in play for Gordon Hayward. So Gordon Hayward can just leave. He could opt out. They've got money. They can sign him if he just wants to sign with them as a free agent. I really didn't think that we would get to this point. When I was first starting to talk about this Gordon Hayward stuff, I said, there's no Philly out there that wants Gordon Hayward. And lo and behold, Atlanta has emerged as a Philly that would want Gordon Hayward. And so now my guess is that the Celtics are in talks to do a sign-and-trade with Gordon Hayward. And I don't know this for sure. This is just guessing on my part, but it feels like Hayward is either helping the Celtics out, or the Atlanta Hawks are willing to do this, or another team is willing to do this, because it involves, like, the Atlanta Hawks don't want their sixth pick. They don't. They don't need it. So can that go to the Celtics? Does that go to another team? Do the Celtics acquire that and flip it to another team? How does that work? I think there's a reason why it got extended to Thursday, because the NBA draft is smack in the middle of that here Wednesday night. That's where a lot of this whatever detail that we're waiting for, that has to be where the Celtics are operating. Somewhere in the confines of the draft, they have agreed to work with Gordon Hayward, and Gordon Hayward has agreed to work with them to say, hey, let's do whatever we're planning to do on draft night, and we're going to work out your destination, and we can get you to where you want to go. You can sign your contract. We can work out a deal with them. It means no difference to the Atlanta Hawks. They've got the cap space. They're going to receive a sign and trade player. They'll be hard capped, but it doesn't matter. They're not going to, their payroll is not going to be that high. But if they want him, if they really want him, they can work this out. Let's expand this. Let's see what we can do trade wise. Let's work with each other here. We can help each other out. Instead of you just taking him and then whatever, let's work with each other. How does this help the Boston Celtics? Well, if there's a way they can get the sixth pick, that's great. You don't let Gordon Hayward walk for just nothing. If you can get the sixth pick and a player, then great. That could actually work for both sides, because what it does is creates a trade exception. And for those of you who don't know what a trade exception is, essentially, when we talk about you have to match salaries for trades, the Atlanta Hawks are under the cap. They don't have to match salaries. The Celtics are over the cap. So they technically kind of do. So they have to take in what they send out. There's a mechanism called the trade exception. It's a bucket. It's like picture the silhouette of a player that the Celtics take in return for Gordon Hayward for the equal amount of money that he goes out. So whatever they decide, if he opts in and they trade him, or if he opts out and they sign and trade him, whatever that first year number is, 20 million, 25 million, whatever it is, the Celtics get a trade exception for that amount of money. It lasts for a year, and somewhere down the line, the Celtics can use that slot to take in a player. So the Celtics and the Hawks theoretically execute this trade. Gordon Hayward goes to the Atlanta Hawks for nothing, or he goes to the Atlanta Hawks for a player. Pick a player. I don't care right now. That's not important at the moment. It's also important to know that each team can structure the deal. They can say it's something that the Celtics can say, we're sending Gordon Hayward out for nothing and we're creating this exception. And the Hawks from their end can say, we're sending this player out for, you know, in this pick out for nothing, theoretically, and they can create their own trade exception. It's a lot of cap minutia. I don't want to confuse you, but basically both sides can create a trade exception here. So the Hawks can create whatever number of the player that goes out. They can have a trade exception there. The Celtics execute the trade with the Hawks, let's say. They go on down the road, blah, blah, blah. Trade deadline comes around. Things change, and there's a $20, $25 million slot, whatever, and a player is available that can fit into that slot. Whether the Celtics are over the cap, whether the Celtics are over the tax, doesn't matter. As long as they're not hard capped, and they won't be because they're not receiving a sign-and-trade player, as long as they're not hard capped, which means they would only be able to use their $5.7 million mid-level. They can't use the $9 million because that would hard cap them. They can go ahead and receive a player. And I say as long as they're not hard capped because they don't want, you know, you don't want to get too close. Maybe they can still use the $9 million and still get that player. Depends on some moving parts. But point is, whenever the trade deadline rolls around, which will be like March, and an $18 million player becomes available, and the Celtics say, hey, yeah, we'll give you draft picks and, you know, we'll take them into our trade exception. That's possible. If it's a $20 million spot, let's say, they can use $10 million for one guy and $10 million for another. Now, what they can't do is say, well, here's a $20 million exception. Here's a $5 million player. We're going to take back $25 million player. But that exception is they can split that up into two. So this is a potentially valuable piece for the Boston Celtics. There's value to doing it this way. It could be something that they use at the trade deadline. It could be something that they use next offseason, where who knows however next offseason goes. Next August, if something changes, we don't know who's going to be on the market next August. The Celtics are sitting there over the cap, over the tax, but the ability to trade for a player that makes whatever that money, whatever that exception is. It's a tool. A lot of these expire. They don't always get used. And if it expires, then you know you tried. But instead of letting Hayward walk for nothing, if you can get this and somehow finagle some other draft assets, if you can get that, if you can get Hayward and the sixth pick, you give up Hayward, you get the sixth pick. I don't think that's asking a lot, considering all the picks that have been flying around. You get Hayward to Atlanta, the sixth pick, and a trade exception, and whatever else That could work. If the Celtics then get the sixth pick and turn that sixth pick into a useful player, a bench player, plus a bench player from Atlanta, let's say, and a trade exception who could be another player down the road, that's not a bad scenario considering everything for Gordon Hayward. Draft night's going to be the night to watch, and I don't know how that's going to go, but I'm telling you, Wednesday has the potential to be a crazy day. So I want you to make sure that you're tuning in to our NBA draft coverage here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Live draft coverage this year on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Locked On Live. It'll be the only place you can get the greatest draft analysis of all time from Chad Ford. He's there live on the night of the draft. Chad, Brad Rowland from Locked On Hawks, David Locke, the founder of the network and Locked On Jazz. Most in-depth coverage of the NBA draft featuring analysis from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. So follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. Get alerts as soon as they go live. Grab yourself a Built Bar while you're at it, because that's going to be a great snack to get you through this coverage, because you're going to be hungry. You're going to be glued to the TV. You're going to be glued to the Locked On Live coverage here. You're going to be hungry. And Built Bar is going to be a great snack because it's got all the protein with not a ton of calories, 18 different flavors. Especially if you've got a nut allergy, there's plenty of flavors there for you as well. Covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew, just like a candy bar. But they're great if you're health conscious, whether you're trying to lose or maintain weight. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great if you're on a keto diet. It works perfectly for you. So check them out. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Even if you've used that promo code before, you can use it again. Not a big deal. BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off your next order. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. The James Harden rumors are flying crazy. There's so many different things that are going on. People are trying to tell me that he was in Boston on Tuesday. I don't know if that's true. People who I know, who I trust, were like, oh yeah, Harden's in Boston. I don't know how they heard it. I don't know if that's true at all, but it would be really interesting if that was true, because Mark Murphy of the Boston Herald had a report that said Celtics have no interest in a James Harden trade. Now, that feels like a bit of posturing, because I'm pretty sure that the Boston Celtics and most teams would want to add an MVP candidate and player with the offensive abilities that he has. I think most teams would want to add that type of player to their team. What they don't have is the interest in paying him for the paying the price that it would take to get him to Boston. That's always been the case here. As I've said multiple times, I don't think the Houston Rockets have a ton of leverage. I don't think all of this stuff with the Brooklyn Nets has to happen right away. Woj has said that he thinks that Harden is going into camp as a member of the Houston Rockets. So if there's no rush, then the Celtics are not going to be in a rush to make a move for him. They're not going to outbid somebody. They're not going to go crazy to grab him now at a place where the Rockets' leverage is still high, where picks have been flying around, and Drew Holiday just got the New Orleans Pelicans like 5 draft picks. Like, I think the Celtics, they're not willing to pay the exorbitant sum to not only get those draft picks. I mean, you have to get Houston all the picks that they want. Boston's not going to mortgage their future like Milwaukee did. It made a little bit more sense for Milwaukee. Boston can use those picks. They need those picks. They have a player on their roster who could possibly become a future MVP candidate. So yeah, you can try to make a move for Harden, but what do you give up? How do you get those picks? People are saying that the Celtics were, floating Kemba Walker, throwing Kemba Walker out there to see if they can get picks. You know, you piece all of these rumors together, and the Celtics were, they're floating Kemba out there to get picks and Gordon out there to get picks, and, they're going to flip all of that for James Harden. Like, okay, yeah, that's nice, except what are you going to get back for those two guys that actually works in a deal? Because unlike the Atlanta Hawks, you have to match salaries both ends for James Harden. So you can flip Kemba and get a couple of picks, a few picks, whatever you get for him. Let's pretend that you do. Let's say you flip Gordon Hayward and you get a few picks for him too. Maybe you even get a couple of young players. And you say, all of these guys are going to go to Houston in a trade for James Harden. Great. Now how are you matching his salary? Because in this scenario, Hayward's gone. Kemba's gone. Guess what? Now you have to start trading Jaylen Brown because he's going to make $23 million next season. And you have to trade him in order to make this work. And you kind of have to start including Marcus Smart in that ridiculous trade that I proposed. Like, that's now you start piecing it all together. And what's the price? You're trading Kemba, Hayward, Brown, Smart, and a bunch of picks for James Harden. Like, No. No. If you're going to move young players for Harden, okay, fine. Okay, we know you cost something to get something. Jaylen and Smart, if that's the deal, that's the deal. If you're comfortable with that, great. If not, okay, fine. But the point is, you turn around to Kemba and you turn around to Gordon, you'd be like, we want to keep you here now. Like, you guys, We're putting you in the starting lineup with Harden and with Tatum, and we're going to start running the East. You can't give up four of your five best players for James Harden. So, yeah, no, the Celtics, of course, have zero interest in that kind of deal. Zero. That would be insanity. That would be dumb. Now, you want to talk about a regular James Harden deal, a regular normal person trade? Okay, we can talk about that. But that's not where this is. And this is just like the people who are talking about, well, you know, what are the Celtics doing? Danny Ainge sitting on his ass doing nothing while other teams get better. Okay, that's a fun thing to say and express your frustration, but he wasn't giving up three first round picks and two pick swaps for Jrue Holiday. And the types of players that he was going to have to give up to match a sign-in trade for Bogdan Bogdanovic, no, that's not palatable either. Because you're either giving up Marcus Smart in that deal, which no thanks, or you're looking at who makes $5 million on the roster. Because I think Bogdanovic is going to make somewhere upwards of like 18, somewhere in that range. So you got to get close enough to match the salaries there. Okay, Tice, Cantor, you throw Poirier in there. Okay, now you've gutted your big man depth completely. So Robert Williams is your starter. Now who's your backup? What happens there? So, yeah, it's easy to look at all of these things that are happening and be like, what's Danny doing? But if you look at the mechanisms that are required by the NBA collective bargaining agreement and basically common sense, he wasn't going to get in on that Jrue Holiday deal. If he did that, you would have killed him. He wasn't getting in on that Bogdanovic deal, and getting in on a Harden deal right now, insane price. No, I don't think so. Now you can try to figure out a third team and maybe you kick that can around, but I'm not seeing the path to James Harden that isn't painful right now. You know, Brooklyn can do it because they've got two superstars on their team. And you can package, all right, we don't need Caris LeVert. We don't need Spencer Dinwiddie. We don't need Jared Allen. I mean, I think you should keep Jared Allen. I think you can keep, you know, LeVert. I don't know, but they can at least say, like, all right, these guys can kind of go in a deal that starts to match. Like, that makes a little more sense for them. They're in a scenario where they can do it. I've talked about the fit. That's an old different thing. But yeah, Boston has no interest in James Harden because it's going to be insane to trade for him. At some point here, we're going to have to play basketball, right? We're going to have to be watching basketball games. When are those games going to be played? Who are the Boston Celtics playing? What is their schedule? We don't know the dates, and we know we're only going to get half of it. We're going to explain that next. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. The Boston Celtics are going to be playing preseason basketball in less than a month. A few weeks away. That is, I mean, mind-blowing. We're about 3 weeks away from the first preseason game. We don't even know what the schedule is going to be yet. But the NBA did release the framework of a schedule. So on December 11th, the preseason opens. On December 22nd, the first half of the regular season begins. They are going to release the first half schedule at some point soon. You know, don't know exactly when, but you know, the next couple of weeks maybe. At some point, we're going to figure out who teams are playing. They're not going to release the second half of the schedule until later in the year. So, 72-game schedule. They're going to start the first half of the regular season December 22nd. March 5th, there will be an all-star break for that week, but no game. March 11th, the second half of the regular season will begin. Now, what's that going to mean? I don't know. May 18th, they're going to be a play-in tournament. I've explained the play-in tournament, but simply stated, 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds are going to be involved. The 7th and 8th play in a game. The winner of that game is the 7th seed. The loser of that game waits for the other game between 9 and 10. The loser of 9 and 10, you're out. The winner of that game plays the team that lost the 7-8 game, and the winner of that game becomes the 8th seed. That's it. So the 7th and 8th seed each get a couple of chances to win one game. And if the 9 and 10 seed are going to make the playoffs, they're going to win two games in a row. And then after that, the playoffs begin. May 22nd all the way to July 22nd. Why is it done like this? It's pretty obvious why it's done like this. They're planning for COVID. They're planning for guys to catch this virus. They're planning for games to be postponed and canceled. That's why they're not releasing a whole schedule. They're releasing part of the schedule so we can see how it goes, get to this all-star break, use that week that may not even be an all-star break because maybe it's just a week to make up some games that were postponed. And they figure out the second half regular season at some point in the midst of all of this. That's how it's going to go. And that's not particularly appealing. That's not particularly safe. I don't like this at all. But here we are. There's nothing that's going to stop it. We're heading into the absolute worst part of this outbreak. This second wave, this is bad, and we're diving headlong into it. I don't know how the rapid testing is going to work. I don't know how what the protocols are going to be. I don't know what the penalties are going to be, if they're going to be like the NFL with penalties for COVID. I'm not 100% sure how those things work, but is the NBA going to install some penalties to make it so these guys are staying at home? They're going to have to travel. There's going to be 42 games within their conference and 30 games in the opposite conference. So the Celtics are going to play 30 games against West Coast teams or Western Conference teams. So they're going to have road trips. They're going to have to travel. They're going to be in other cities. What's open in those cities? What exposure they're going to get in those cities? Will there be an outbreak? There's an element of uncertainty to this season that's hard to really grasp. But this is what these teams are facing. This is what we're looking to. Each division within a conference will play all five teams from another intra-conference division twice at home, all five teams from the remaining division twice on the road. So they're going to split up these divisions. It's not going to be as division heavy as we thought, but it's going to be a little bit more conference heavy. So again, we don't know when the schedule is going to be put out. We don't know what the exact schedule is going to be, but this is the sort of structure. First half, second half, a break in the middle, which will be called an all-star break, but there won't be a game. It's going to be a 72-game season, and they're going to roll with it, and we're going to find out exactly how bad it gets. I talked about this and the James Harden stuff with Jake Madison on the Locked On NBA podcast. So after you listen to this Locked On Celtics podcast, go to the Wednesday Locked On NBA. I'm the regular co-host along with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans on Wednesdays. So we talked a lot about the Rockets, a lot more about the Rockets. Jake has this idea about the rumored John Wall trade, why the Rockets would be interested. Blew my mind. I can't believe it. It's genius. So that's all on Locked On NBA this Wednesday as well. So make sure you're subscribing to that as well, and especially on Wednesdays, because that's my show. Locked On Live, again, Locked On Live is going to be going on draft night during the draft. Live draft coverage on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Locked On Live. Chad Ford, Brad Rowland, David Locke, Jeremy Wu. It's going to be the most comprehensive live draft coverage that you're going to find. So go ahead and follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. You'll get an alert as soon as they go live. You're going to watch the best coverage that you can get. Of course, I will have reaction to the draft well after it happens because I've got my masslive.com obligations. So check out my writing on masslive.com/Celtics. And then afterwards, when I'm done with that, I'll record a reaction podcast to put that out, reaction to the drafts and whatever madness happens on Wednesday. Maybe by then we'll know what happened with Gordon Hayward. That's a lot. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you subscribe. I really appreciate it if you would. You'll get it directly to your device. You can follow on Spotify. You can ask your smart device to play the latest edition, the latest episode of this podcast. Very easy. It'll happen automatically. I've done it before. It's awesome. It's fun. So do that. Regular listeners, I very much appreciate your 5-star ratings and those good written reviews. You've propelled this podcast to the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. And I'm very appreciative of that. Do me one more favor. Share the podcast with your friends if you could, and tell them they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.